Good morning, or hello. This is Nancy Pippen with the Pantograph for Friday, May the 24th. Oh my goodness, we are ready for a weekend, a Memorial Day weekend, which for today looks to be 83 degrees and a low of 68. And the symbol for lots more wind is posted on the front page here of the Pantograph for this Friday, May 24th, 2019. And our top story today is starting with the severe winds that went through the area. And we also have a group of reform for transit board. And then we'll also be discussing that Mr. Trump and Ms. Pelosi are talking about his fitness to hold office. But we will begin here at home with the Central Illinois cleans up after a wave of storms. And the pictures, which I'm sure you will find more of if you go to the Pantograph website, looks first at Miss Sue Smith on Linden Street, Normal. She's waiting for help Thursday after a tree was blown over at about 1 in the morning. And this was just due to violent thunderstorms that passed through the area. And then we have a picture of, bless their hearts, workers from the Flynn Tree Service of Carlock cleaning up a downed tree. This was over on Oakland Avenue. And let's see. Here's Mr. Scott Van Winkle, an employee of Young America Realty, and he's looking over a section of concrete sidewalk that was lifted after a tree fell over across one of the company's rental properties over on Roosevelt. That also was about 1 a.m. on Thursday. No one was in the home at the time of the storm, and the house sustained only minor damage, so that's nice. And there is, as I said, a photo gallery. If you go to www.pantograph.com, you can view more of the cleanup there, some of the sites. And let's see. So here's the article that goes with it. This is a normal woman credits a little angel for saving her life when a tree crashed into her house during a violent series of storms lasting from late Wednesday into early Thursday morning, which included a tornado touchdown in Lincoln. Sue Smith of 1317 South Linden Street in Normal was asleep on the couch in the living room around 1 a.m. A ceramic angel on her front steps served as her guardian angel to protect her, she said. The angel wasn't damaged, but her home sustained damage to an overhang on the front of the house when a large tree toppled over. Three dogs also escaped harm, she told the Pantograph. A massive tree also fell on a four-unit rental property at 1307 North Roosevelt, Bloomington, which is managed by Young American Realty. Despite the tree being at least 80 feet tall and 3 feet wide, damage was almost non-existent. Scott Van Winkle, who works for the Young America, was asleep at his home when the storm struck, and a friend sent him a text with a photo to alert him of the damage. Almost every Central Illinois community reported at least some damage on Thursday, hours after the storms cleared, said Matt Barnes, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. The storms produced funnel clouds, driving rain, hail, and high winds that toppled large trees and power lines. There was a lot of tree damage and a lot of power lines down, he said. There were no reports of injuries, however, which is good. Ameren reported that about 1,300 customers remained without power in Illinois Thursday night, and a number down significantly from more than 16,000 in the storm's immediate aftermath. Of those, 746 were in Iroquois County, 209 in Logan County, 156 in Champaign County, and 32 in McLean County. We'll switch over to page 2 here and read the rest of the story, where it suggests that All other counties in the area were just in the single digits, which is good. There were several scattered spots throughout Bloomington and Normal with downed trees and power lines. Damage also was confirmed in Colfax, Fairbury, McLean, Gibson City, and Clinton. There also were reports of downed power lines throughout Logan County. A Weather Service survey later Thursday found damage indicating an EF1 tornado with an estimated wind speed of 90 miles per hour, touching down from 12:33 to 12:37 a.m. northwest of Lincoln. The tornado tracked 3 miles northwest of the Weather Service's office. Weather Service reports also indicated funnel clouds were seen aloft at 12:43 a.m. a mile south of Weston and at 12:56 a.m. along US 24 near Fairbury, but there was no damage reported. While not attributed to tornadoes, high wind speeds were recorded across central Illinois, including 83 mile per hour in Watseka, 58 mile per hour in central at Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, and 70 miles per hour in Piper City. In Lincoln, officials closed Old Union Cemetery until further notice for storm damage cleanup. Also in Logan County, a grain bin was found nearly intact after it was blown onto the railroad tracks on Illinois 121 near Bell Station. A vehicle struck a tree in the roadway in the 2000 block of Illinois 121 in Logan County, and a box truck overturned in the southbound lane on Interstate 55 at milepost 138 between Lincoln and Atlanta. Around 15 power poles were reported down on North Street in Middleton, running west to Menard County. In McLean, a large tree in the village square uprooted at the intersection of Park Street and Center Street in Clinton. A portion of Jefferson Street near downtown Clinton was closed because of a tree that had fallen across the street. Several roads in McLean County also were shut down Thursday morning for debris cleanup. The westbound lane of Oakland Avenue between Vail and Woodland in Bloomington was closed, as were the streets surrounding Franklin Park, because Walnut and McLean streets were littered with tree debris. Storms that arrive in overnight hours give forecasters issues they don't normally face during daylight hours, Barnes said. We use the exact same protocol, but we have to rely less on eyewitness accounts and firsthand knowledge of specific damage, he said. More thunderstorms are possible in the area through the holiday weekend, although they are not expected to be as severe, Barnes said. We're in a very active weather pattern, which is typical for this time of year, reports Barnes. We will have periodic episodes of showers and thunderstorms, although we don't believe they will be as severe. This article was compiled by Kevin Barlow, Roger Miller, and photos were contributed by David Prober. So let's go back to the page one. That completes our coverage of the cleanup, and look at a group considering transit here in the area. The article is titled Group Reform Transit Board: Mayor Pressed to Appoint Bus Riders. And this is presented by Derek Bai and Maria Nagel. Connect Transit riders and advocates aren't stopping their push for board representation despite competing plans from Twin City mayors. Citizens to Ensure Fair Transit, known as CEFT, are urging both to change their minds after Bloomington Mayor Tari Renner put forward two possible board appointees. CEFT doesn't support these appointees. And Normal Mayor Chris Coos said he doesn't plan in the short term to fill a months-long vacancy. Renner made it clear that because of their commitment to a downtown transfer station, and this is the point that we're going to switch over here to page two, Renner doesn't feel like an appointment should be made. Coos doesn't feel like an appointment should be made, but Renner would like to appoint Justin Boyd and Amelia Burgas to serve as Bloomington's next appointees to the Connect Transit Board, said a statement from CEFT Recording Secretary Marguerite Brooks. To appoint Burgas and Boyd would be to maintain the Connect Transit Board's homogeneous representation of people who present as able-bodied and financially well-resourced and not reliant on public transportation, she continued. This is unacceptable. CEFT representatives plan to take the message to Renner's regular open house at 4:30 p.m. this Friday at City Hall, 109 East Olive Street, according to a statement from Conan Calhoun, a Life Center independent living staffer who works with CEFT. When I ask if his outlook on the appointments had changed, Renner said Thursday, he continues to see the transfer station as a very important short to midterm need for the system. Most anybody who is involved in this wants the same thing at 500 feet, which is very strong responsive system, transit system, which is a very strong responsive transit system. I'm trying to keep the big picture in mind, said Renner. Can responsiveness be improved? Well, of course, and that's what we're always working on. Boyd and Burgas said in a joint statement Thursday, there's an ongoing conversation about how the Board of Connect Transit can best represent those individuals who use public transit. And we do not want to get in the way of that conversation. The mayor has not yet formally nominated anyone, they said. We trust that ultimately the city council and the mayor will make decisions regarding board vacancies that are in the best interest of the long-term needs of the city and the Connect Transit. Renner appoints four members of the board and Coos the other three, all to four-year terms. Renner plans to replace Judy Buchanan and John Bowman, while Coos has not filled the seat vacated by John Thomas last fall. CEFT representatives also spoke out at Monday's normal city council meeting. They found an ally in council member Stan Nord, who was elected in April after campaigning as an alternative to Coos and the current administration. Coos was out of town and did not attend the meeting. I just hope we get somebody on board soon because we need the representation, said Nord. You need the representation. Renner has floated expanding the board to include more diversity, but Coos said he doesn't support that. The city also is looking into whether the Connect Transit Board is receiving proper oversight from the city and town as established in the system's bylaws, another CEFT request that Nord noted. Coos also has rejected appointing Mark Trilitti, a former mayoral rival who submitted his name for the board. Connect Transit currently has a Community Transportation Advisory Committee of riders that consult with the board. The board also has formed a working group called Connect to the Future to evaluate the system through this fall to meet for the first time on May 11th. I'm still It met for the first time on May 11th. I'm still looking for the right person to put on the board, and I'm not in a huge hurry to do it. I want to see that this working group, what this working group has to say. This was from Mayor Coos on Thursday. If there are people that are interested, please let me know. It's an open position. I'm not guarding it for anything. Writers started to pressure officials over representation after the transit board in March approved fare hikes starting this fall and cutting the Olive route effective July 1st. The system has cut other routes over the past several years. The trustees have wrestled with difficult choices. That is part of our fiduciary responsibility, said Buchanan, who chairs the working group. Our riders have consistently asked for more frequency and on-time schedules, and I'm happy to say that Connect Transit has delivered on both accounts. If you have more questions about this article, Derek Bai is the person to contact at 309-820-3234. And let's go back to the front page for our final article of the current issue of the Pantograph. So in the national news, our article is presented by Laura Kellerman and Zeke Miller from the Associated Press and is entitled "Trump Pelosi Trade Barbs About Fitness to Hold Office." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi openly questioned President Donald Trump's fitness to remain in office Thursday, suggesting a staff or family, quote, intervention for the good of the nation after his dramatic blow-up at a White House meeting with Democrats. Trump responded by calling her crazy. "She's a mess," Trump told reporters at an afternoon news conference in which he lined up White House staff to testify to his calmness. They were to testify to his calmness, that the meeting between he and Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Charles Schumer. "Crying Chuck, crazy Nancy. I watched Nancy and she was all crazy yesterday," he claimed. As for himself, he declared, "I'm an extremely stable genius." Both the Republican president and Democratic leaders dug in a day after Trump stalked out of the cabinet room demanding an end to all congressional probes before he would work with Congress on the crumbling U.S. infrastructure and other matters. By Thursday, as Congress prepared to recess for the Memorial Day break, both sides were questioning each other's stability, with the president insisting on Twitter that he was calm when he left the White House meeting. That was to focus on infrastructure spending after just 3 minutes. Pelosi said Trump has established a pattern of unpredictability, and at one point she even joked about the 25th Amendment, the Constitution's provision laying out the procedure for replacing a president. "I wish that his family or his administration or his staff would have an intervention for the good of the country," Pelosi said at her weekly news conference, adding that she prays for him and the nation. "Maybe he wants to take a leave of absence," she said. Asked whether she's concerned about Trump's well-being, she replied, "I am." Pelosi said the White House is crying out for the Democrats to launch impeachment hearings, the idea being that such a move would help him politically. White House aides believe that if Democrats move to impeach, and even if they win approval of the articles of impeachment in the White House, Trump would be acquitted in the GOP-controlled Senate, supporting his assertions that he's a victim of Democratic harassment and helping him towards re-election. But the president denies that he's urging the Democrats on. "I don't think anybody wants to be impeached," Trump said. And that concludes the front page articles. We'll go back up to the top of page two, where there's a short presentation of, about area jobless numbers. And it says that unfortunately there's been a tick up. So More people were out of work in central Illinois in April, new state data says, a trend reflected statewide. The jobless rate was 4% in Bloomington Metropolitan Statistical Area, compared to 3.5% in April of 2018. That translates to 93,000 people employed last month, compared to 94,000 in April of 2018, a loss of 1,000 jobs over the year. The numbers were released Thursday by the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Statewide, the jobless rate was 4% compared to 3.8% in 2018, or 6.16 million with jobs compared to 6.07 million in 2018. Job growth was reported in Carbondale, Marion, Peoria, Lake, Kenosha, and the Chicago suburbs. The largest decreases were reported in Bloomington, Danville, and the Illinois section of St. Louis. Decatur reported a jobless rate of 5.5% compared to 4.9% in 2018, but had 200 more people employed overall than last year. Pantograph area rates were DeWitt County, 4.7%. This is over 4.2% in 2018. LaSalle, 5.7 over versus 5.11. Livingston, 4.6 versus 3.7. Logan, 4.5 versus 3.9. McLean, 4% versus 3.5. Tazewell, 4.5 versus 4.2. And Woodford, 3.9 versus 3.5. The city of Bloomington reported a rate of 3.9 over 3.6 unemployment, and the normal rate should be about, the normal rate for this year was 3.8, which is up from 3.2 last year. So that's kind of some of the interesting things that are going on here in the area. We've had the trees go down and finding that jobless rates kind of ticking up, which is not a good sign. And but people are coming together with this cleanup, and they're looking more into the transit connects. And then we find that there's still some ongoing strife there in the nation's capital. So let's look at our fun fact for today, and that's today's flick fact. It says, in this website for everything world, is there a site where I can see where the most DUIs occur in Bloomington, where police spend the most time investigating residential burglaries, or where they nab the most shoplifters? That's a good question, you know. So people are asking, is there a single site, website in this website for everything world? Do they have a place where you can go and find specifically Bloomington's DUIs, time on residential burglaries, or where they grab shoplifters? Three very common concerns for folks. So let's see what the answer is. Well, the answer is yes. Indeed, there is. On Bloomington's www.cityblm.org. That's under government departments, police crime maps and statistics. You can find out that there is an interactive map that literally marks the sites of Bloomington crimes in 27 categories, from homicides to DUIs to disorderly conduct. While not as sophisticated, Normal has its version also at www.normal.org/526/crime-data. So those are some interesting things you might want to look up. And who knew that those sites were out there? Again, that's Bloomington's is www.cityblm.org. Or you can go to the normal version at www.normal.org/526/crime-data. So there you go. And let's look a little bit further into the paper. We move now to page A3, and if you are interested, there are several Memorial Day observances set. I will try to briefly go through some of these in this article that's been presented. It says military veterans throughout central Illinois will lead Memorial Day events to honor those who died fighting America's wars. The annual McLean County Memorial Day Parade steps off at 9 a.m. Monday, proceeding along Front Street through downtown Bloomington and then to Miller Park. Parade lineup will begin at 8 a.m. and its participants will need to be in line by 8:30 a.m. Veterans wishing to march in the parade with the Combined Color Guard are invited to do so. Uniforms are not required. A ceremony at the Miller Park Bandstand immediately following the parade will feature an address by Chief Warrant Officer Herbert Stevens of the Illinois Army National Guard. A bagpiper will lead a procession from the bandstand to the Korean Vietnam Memorial at Miller Park, where American Legion Posts 56 and 635 will conduct a ceremony there approximately 11 a.m. The two posts will conduct a second ceremony at noon at the Evergreen Memorial Cemetery in Bloomington. However, there will be no ceremony at the Park Hill Cemetery. VFW Post 454 will hold a ceremony at 11:45 at the grave of John Krause in the Danvers Cemetery. Krause was the first McLean County soldier to die in World War I. On Saturday, this American Legion Post will conduct a ceremony at noon at the East Lawn Memorial Garden Cemetery on Bloomington's East Side. Evergreen Memorial Cemetery will be the site of the Avenue of the Flags and other weekend events, some which includes ice cream socials and trolley tours at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Saturday through Monday. In Normal, the Activity and Recreation Center and American Legion Post 56 and 635 will lead a remembrance service at 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the ARC Flagpole 600 West. Or 600 East Willow Street. And there will be other celebrations in Chatsworth, in Eureka, Mount Pulaski, and Rooks Creek. And I do not have a full time to present all of these to you, but I do want to note that there will be a 30-minute service by a retired military chaplain at the Saturday flagpole event. This shall include a reading of the deceased service personnel and a 13-fold flag ceremony, 21-gun salute, and lowering the flag to half staff. Refreshments will be served at the conclusion of the service. That's Saturday at the ARC flagpole. And this time we will take a short break, and I will return with the second half of the pantograph for Friday, May 24th, 2019. So please stay tuned.